Genesis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, Living a Spiritual Life, Part 1. And before we start on this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of Lucis Trust. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature. And those 24 volumes of literature are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is from the works of Alice Bailey. Spiritual growth is not achieved by simply giving 30 minutes a day to meditation. It involves an hour-by-hour attempt, all day long and every day, to keep the consciousness at as high a level as possible. It presumes a determination to consider oneself at all times as the soul, and increasingly as part of a group, with no interests or desires, aims or wishes, apart from the good of that group. It necessitates a constant watchfulness every hour of the day to prevent falling back into the lower vibration. What exactly is meant by spiritual living?
It's a good question. We could say, what does it mean to be spiritual? I think people probably have their own idea that's right there in their brain popping up at this moment, and yet it might not be the most rounded out understanding of what spiritual living means. We're not talking about being a saint. We're not talking about the need to be Mother Teresa or Gandhi. Mother Teresa needed to be Mother Teresa, and Gandhi needed to be Gandhi, but we, each of us, need to be ourselves, whatever that is. And that means figuring out who we really are. Some people turn to psychotherapy to discover who they are, but others, perhaps more spiritually oriented, turn to meditation and develop an awareness of life and themselves by watching cause and effect work out around them. First of all, we could say that it doesn't mean being puritanical. It means being pure. But again, what do we mean by being pure? Not a goody-goody two-shoes, as people used to say. That's not purity. To me, the word pure means being without duplicity or without a facade. In other words, being an unadulterated human being, without veils, without trying to hide one's true nature behind a false facade. And there are different ways you can hide yourself. You can hide behind a big ego. You can also hide behind false humility. Whereas Alice Bailey said that a true humility is an adjusted sense of right proportion. It's seeing oneself in terms of the whole of humanity. When we constantly remember that we are a human being, very much like all other human beings, then I think we are well on the way to seeing ourselves as we really are. We can look at the lives of a number of people that we would consider spiritual and ask ourselves, what made them spiritual? Dorothy Day might come to mind. She was a wonderful Catholic worker. Or Martin Luther King, or perhaps Thomas Merton, the Benedictine monk, or the Trappist monk, or Václav Havel. And yet any of those people, if you really look at their personal lives, there were flaws. I mean, Dorothy Day had a child out of wedlock when she was a young woman. Martin Luther King was kind of notorious for his sexual affairs with apparently lots of women. They all had their flaws, and yet they were deeply spiritual. So it means that we're not looking at perfection, but we're looking at people of a certain commitment and a certain orientation that is unwaveringly toward the spiritual and toward the divine.
Well, spiritual, essentially, I think, as it's in the writings of Alice Bailey, it says we have to broaden the meaning of this term, because for so long, I think so many people relate spiritual only to something having to do with religion or a religious training, and it's certainly much more than that, because it basically has to do with bringing the soul into the daily life and bringing that spiritual part, the divine spark within each one of us, to the daily life, and allowing those qualities to shine and radiate more fully. And it's that allows the Spirit of God to work more freely through us. And that's why whatever you do in life a way is open for this spiritual energy to pour through.
Yes, and yet it doesn't necessarily mean that one is going to go out and preach one's spiritual beliefs in every moment of one's daily life. Anybody who rides a subway sees the people there who are shouting and raving on and on about how we are all going to hell in a handbasket. I've never seen anyone go up to them and say, oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, thank you for telling me that. Now tell me how to turn my life around. Maybe they do get a few people who actually respond that way, but most of us aren't going to live a spiritual life because someone else told us we should. We're going to because of an inner decision, don't you think?
Yes, and that's where the the urge to betterment, whatever one's life objective is, it's the urge to betterment, to moving from where you are to where the next objective is. And so it's that spiritual urge. Again, it's the soul that gives us that spiritual urge to move towards a better place, whether in physically or emotionally or in consciousness, and particularly in consciousness.
How does one begin to manifest this urge, this sense that we have to reorient our life? I suppose it begins by a kind of an act of pretending. There's a technique in the Ageless Wisdom that's called the as-if technique, which I suppose is a reflection of what Shakespeare said, if you don't have a virtue, assume it. If you aren't sure what the soul is, assume your idea of what the soul is. And that's what we really want to talk about today. We are all probably all too aware that we are imperfect beings. But for our encouragement, we should remember that even at a quite advanced stage of the spiritual path, there are still imperfections that will come to the forefront. And that helps us understand why people like Dorothy Day, people like Martin Luther King, have these very evident flaws and yet are obviously spiritually quite advanced in many other ways. And this is explained, as I understand it, by the fact that every human being in his various bodies, mental, emotional, and physical, etheric, are composed of seven levels seven gradations within each body. And it's said that even at a fairly advanced level of the path, the highest levels of each body, emotional, mental, and physical, might not yet be completely redeemed. There might still be growth needed to be accomplished in the emotional nature, in the mental nature, in the physical, etheric. And that helps us understand why there are flaws and faults and shortcomings within very spiritual and advanced people. That should give us encouragement and the willingness to persist in spite of what comes to the surface. And the fact is that as one begins to live a spiritual life, all kinds of things come to the surface that one might not have been aware of before, and you have to be prepared for that, because spiritual energy is stimulation.
Yes, and one of the definitions of spiritual in the books of Alice Bailey, it says spiritual signifies the world of light and beauty, of order and of purpose, about which the world scriptures speak. So it's bringing forth, allowing that beauty within, which comes by way of the soul, that inner beauty to come forward. And that comes out in many ways of service, or of giving oneself to others, or of sacrifice, as you mentioned, Dorothy Day and Martin Luther King. They perform tremendous services in their realm of activity, whatever they did in life. And but they have flaws because the part of their nature still has not been fully redeemed and fully purified, or fully upraised up in terms of vibrational rate. And it's something that one has to work on constantly from life after life.
Yeah, it gives one humility, and it should give one compassion and patience with others who are on the path, that we are a work in progress, as Jesse Jackson said. We are not a finished product. We are all of us in development. And there's a lot ahead of us that has not yet been accomplished, but there are gains behind us that become responsibilities, because every achievement then becomes a responsibility, in the sense that you've reached a particular level, and then you have to share the results of that development, that achievement. There are some points to keep in mind in living a spiritual life that might be interesting to consider. One is that we should pick a particular path of development that seems right for us and give it our best effort. There's too much, I think, of the cafeteria-style kind of smorgasbord approach to spiritual living today. Particularly in the West, there's so many different teachings, so many different schools of thought, so many different teachers that are available to guide and train us. And you have to, I think, focus on a particular method or path that seems right for you, and then give it your best effort. Don't go from one school of development to another like a hummingbird. The Bhagavad Gita says, "By whatever path ye come to me, by that path will I bless ye, because all paths are mine." That doesn't mean every path is right, but I think the key point is, by whatever path ye come to me, the path that leads to the Christ within, the soul, is a good path, even though it might vary in technique and method from school to school. Pick one that seems to be based on right values, spiritual values, and we'll discuss those some more, what we mean by that, and give it your best effort.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, Living a Spiritual Life, Part 1. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, and it really helps you in your reading of Alice Bailey, because all of these topics having to do with serving humanity are abridged, and you can develop an order of priority as to what you want to approach first, and then you go into the larger works, and you can read about those topics that you especially like in greater depth. At any rate, the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, and if you'd like the book, Serving Humanity, you have to send a check or a money order of $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And remember to make a little notation so that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. Once again, that's a check or money order. Ask for Serving Humanity, $16. and send it to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We appreciate your donations, large and small. They're certainly an expression to us of your support, and also that's what keeps us on this radio station, so thanks again. Also, if you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, if you'd like a general package of information that tells you a lot about Lucis Trust, you can give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247, or if you'd like to contact us for any other reason, ordering books or cassette tapes of previous radio shows. Once again, give us a call, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. You can key into our website also. You'll find a lot of information about Lucis Trust on our website. You'll also be able to listen to previously archived radio shows, inner site radio shows. So the website, if you'd like to do that, is www.lucistrust.org. I was thinking also, from what I'm picking up from this discussion on living a spiritual life, part one, is that if we look at the soul, and if we can understand the soul, which is probably too difficult for us at this point, the soul encompasses love, compassion, harmlessness, group consciousness, perhaps. How is it that if we're not really there yet in our consciousness, but we admire these values of the soul and we want to get closer to the soul, what do we do? How do we, if we're not there yet, and yet we admire those soul values?
Well, there are various attributes that we can cultivate, every one of us, where beginning with whatever place we occupy in our evolutionary journey. If we can understand the value of an attribute, we can begin to practice it. I think if you can't for the life of you understand why you should be of service, then probably you shouldn't try. Or if you can't understand why you should care about your group affiliation, then you probably aren't ready to think on those terms. But if there's something in you that recognizes and appreciates a particular attribute, then I think you are ready to begin to build it into your equipment, so to speak, with more rigor and with more discipline. For example, detachment. We could say a good place to begin in one's spiritual life is to practice more detachment in day-to-day living and relationships. Now, that does not mean to be cold and indifferent and standoffish towards everyone. That is not detachment. That's just being isolated. Detachment is freedom from the chains and bonds of desire. And desire works gnawing away at us like a little mouse in so many ways that we may not even recognize. If we start monitoring the working of desire in our emotional and mental life, I think we'll begin to see how attached we are to people, to goals, to beliefs, to certain prejudices that we have, certain expectations about life. We make demands upon life and upon other people, upon God, that really bind us and keep us from being simply happy and free.
And another one of those characteristics, of course, is the energy of love. That's one of the basic, perhaps the basic quality of the soul to bring into your life. And if that's one of the decisions you make, that you want to bring more love into your life and to more have love and understanding, then think about it. And first of all, find particular parts in your character that block love or that deflect love from being expressed. And you have to be very honest with yourself in this kind of thing. You have to begin to analyze where your little flaws are and where they can be changed, and then work from there. And you have to work at it. I mean, it just won't happen overnight. It may take the rest of your life to begin to apply these little characteristics, but it has to begin sometime, so why not now?
Well, to be more loving, that doesn't necessarily mean you start bringing boxes of chocolates to everybody in your environment.
Chocolates,
although
are
with
a good
me, that'd be okay.
Chocolate is a good stuff.
I accept chocolates. But no, you don't. I know you don't mean that. Being loving itself may not be terribly clear to people. Most people try to conjure up love through their personality by being ever so sweet and nice and accommodating to all the other personalities around them. That's not love. Love is so often silence and acceptance and tolerance for the way other people are different from ourselves. Just try cultivating an acceptance and a respect for the differences between oneself and one's worldview and those of others. That respect is based on the soul within every human being that has those individuals firmly in its grip. Even if we don't think so, the soul is guiding them and leading them toward greater light. They'll be okay. They'll make their way, just as you will. Love them silently. That can be an enormously powerful source of encouragement that doesn't interfere with their journey or tell them what to do or find fault with them if you think they're on a wrong path. It's seeing the light within them and knowing that that light is going to lead them in their own evolutionary path.
And instead of finding fault with the other people around you, find something more of that soul quality in them and bring that forward.
Look for it.
It says, because it helps to bring forth the light and the beauty into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what living a spiritual life is about.
And you can find it in virtually every person you know. I mean, not too many of us are surrounded by Hitlers. We always bring up the example of, well, what about Hitler? There was only one of him, as far as I know, and we leave him to God. But most people are a mixture of good and bad, and if you look for the divinity in them, you will find it. If you don't know what the divinity in another human being would be, then sharpen your sense of how divine quality would express. Not necessarily in the most pleasant personality in the room. It might manifest in ways like sacrifice, unselfishness, silence in the face of attack, forgiveness, patience,
understanding.
Yeah.
Yet that's what love provides more than anything. I think you understand where these people are coming from and maybe why they're reacting the way they do react. And if you can understand that, then you can step back and be less judgmental and less reactive, and take a few minutes to think about where they're coming from.
Less judgmentalness, that's another attribute we could all cultivate. Anybody with a mind is probably prone to passing judgment all the time because we have a mind and we use it in ways that are like a laser beam that finds error when we look at others. And when we look at ourselves, we can be terribly harsh with ourselves too. Try refraining from judgment. Try just accepting what you note in yourself and others. Just accepting it and saying, well, their worldview is different than mine. There's something working out from their experience in life and from their own perception of their goal that makes them do what they do. I don't have to pass judgment. I just have to accept them.
And these techniques are not easy to do. I mean, you're going to keep falling back. As it says in the opening keynote there, it involves an hour by hour attempt all day long and every day to keep the consciousness at a high level as possible.
It doesn't mean you'll succeed.
No, and
it's
you won't succeed. You keep falling back into the old lower way of reacting, and instead of being non-critical, you will find yourself being critical. Well, But if you're aware of what's happening, then, it just takes more and more practice. And that's how you get to Carnegie Hall. You practice.
Practice, practice. And that's why we have practices such as morning meditation and evening review. If you can find a time in your life to begin a practice like meditation, that can be an enormous boost in spiritual development, because it's the cultivation on a daily level of a period of silence and inner withdrawal that can lead you to a clearer sense of your soul, of your inner teacher, because, in fact, the teacher, the master you're looking for, is within you. It's not someone out in the world. The first master is the master in the heart, we're told, the soul. There is that inner source of light and guidance within every one of us, and we find it by developing silence and an inward awareness. That's what meditation is about. And then after the morning meditation, we go about our day, and at the very end of the day, there's the technique of the evening review to look back and see how well one did or how poorly one did. Again, detachment is necessary, because you will see failure some of the time. You will see achievement some of the time. You shouldn't be elated over achievement, and you shouldn't be despondent over failure, because both of those attributes are attachment to the personality. Just note success and failure and say, well, this happened that brought about that failure, or this happened that brought about that achievement. Gradually, you gain more control and discipline, and that's the objective of the morning meditation and the evening review.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. You can order Serving Humanity. It's at a discount today. It's available for $16, so please, if you'd like it, send a check or money order, $16. Ask for Serving Humanity. Send the check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, general package of information about Lucis Trust or a number of other reasons, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.